On Monday, August 26th, a crowd of close to 100 people gathered outside of our church meeting house as a demonstration seeking to persuade us to release Catherine Grove, which we would have most gladly done had we been holding her against her will. The only problem is that we were not holding her against her will, but on the contrary, we, as always, were only seeking to honor and maintain her freedom of choice as a 26-year-old citizen of the United States of America, which on multiple occasions was communicated to us, and not only to us, but to the law enforcement, and at that, the chief law enforcement of this county on multiple occasions, which was that she would be set at liberty to seek God among us, the Church of Wells, without the restraints or hindrances or distractions of her family, friends, the townsfolk, but just to be able to be set at liberty to seek God for the sake of her eternal soul's salvation, which is both a reasonable and honorable request that should be sought at all costs to be upheld by any law-abiding United States citizen. On behalf of a law-abiding United States citizen. And with this in mind, Sean Morris, Ryan Ringnald, and myself, Jake Gardner, approached the scene where the crowd was gathered at our church house. After shortly addressing those few that were speaking to the owner of the property, Corey McLaughlin, who is one of the men of the church, near the porch, we turned and began to pray, asking God to give us direction and clear leading on how to address this crowd and what to say. After a short time in prayer, we turned and I, Jake Gardner, began to address the crowd first. And this is what I would seek to clear right now in this brief audio clip. And it is what I have heard, what reports I've heard from people in this town after that night of what I preached, the message that I had preached. The following day after this had happened, I heard a report from a woman in town that was present that night at the demonstration that the message she got from what I had said, what I had spoken to the town that night, was that you're all going to burn in the ditch. I also heard from another present that night that I had gone about pronouncing a curse upon all the ministers and all the people present at that demonstration that night, that I had pronounced a curse upon them all, saying, go to hell. Now, this is very troubling to me because, for one, I don't believe that I ever chose those words, go to hell, or you're all going to burn in the ditch, nor was that the heart that I had sought to communicate or to convey to the crowd was a heart of cursing and of bitterness, but rather I was desirous in my heart to communicate a blessing and communicate words that would lead to this town's and the town's ministers' salvation and repentance and forgiveness by the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, just to address something important, this crowd was led, if not primarily, at least under the spiritual guidance of multiple of the ministers in this town, and primarily, at least for this evening, under the guidance of Joshua Llewellyn, the First Baptist minister of this town. Now, some of the men in our church have had dealings with Joshua Llewellyn in the past, and have talked to him for quite a while about salvation and what the Bible teaches in regards to these things. And just a few days before this demonstration, we had had a run-in at the grocery store here in town, the R&R Mercantile. And out on the front steps, I spoke to Joshua Llewellyn, and after exchanging a few words, I asked him quite plainly, "Josh, do you believe if a man dies in his sins, then that man will go to heaven?" Very plain, simple, elementary question in regards to the New Testament, in regards to biblical salvation, in regards to the salvation of our eternal souls. Very, very important question, and very simple. After dodging the question for a few moments, finally answered, "Well, yes, I believe that if a man dies in his sins, then that man will go to heaven, if that man has been truly saved and has truly been born again." Well, that is a very, very grieving and concerning answer to such a question, so plain as what I asked him. The scripture says very plainly in one of John's epistles, "If a man come to you and bring not the doctrine of our Lord Jesus Christ, do not receive him into your house, neither bid him Godspeed, lest you be partaker of his evil deeds." And the scripture plainly says that if a man does not believe and receive the sound words and faithful sayings of our Lord Jesus Christ, that that man does not know the truth. The scriptures plainly teach in the New Testament that if a man dies in his sins, then that man will not have an entrance into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. On the contrary, the plain scriptural precept teaches in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 and 10, Paul says very plainly, "Be not deceived." Don't lie to yourself. "If any man be a drunkard, be covetous, be a fornicator, be an adulterer, be effeminate or abusers of themselves with mankind," etc., etc., etc. The list goes on. If a man lives in these sins, Paul says, that man will not inherit the kingdom of God. Don't lie to yourself. Don't deceive yourself. Don't let any man deceive you with vain words. For this cause cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience, as Paul says in Ephesians. Now, with such plain scriptural precepts, to receive such an answer as I received from Joshua Llewellyn, I would have cause to be very concerned about who is leading one of the biggest churches in this city. Jesus Christ plainly says, "Nay, I say unto you, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." Now, it couldn't be much plainer than that. If a man dies in his sins, is that man saved? Christ, Paul, the rest of the New Testament authors say, no, that man is not saved. Regardless of what he ever had, he does not have saving faith now. And that man is not a saved man. That man will not go to heaven. So coming to this crowd of 100 people, having this knowledge and seeing that they are being led about by such a man as Joshua Llewellyn, who cannot even answer certainly with biblical references why he believes that a man can die in his sins and still go to heaven. Forgive me, he did quote one scripture that I can remember, and that was in John chapter 10. And he said that Christ said that he gives unto his sheep eternal life, and none can pluck him out of his hand. And which I believe, but I do not believe that that scripture stands alone. That is actually only one half of a sentence. If you look it up in John chapter 10, the first half of the sentence says, "My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and no man shall pluck them out of my hand." Now, who is Christ saying that he will give eternal life to his sheep? But who are his sheep? Christ clearly defines them in this verse by saying, his sheep are they which follow him, which hear him. You see that Christ did not say they followed me, past tense, and they heard me, past tense. He does not say that they will follow me, future tense, or that they will hear me in the future tense. Christ says that they hear me, present progressive, right now. Right now, they are hearing me. Right now, they are following me. And to them, Jesus says, I give eternal life. But what happens if a man comes to a point where he no longer follows Jesus Christ. He is no longer hearing the voice of Jesus Christ. Regardless of what that man had in the past, he does not have presently saving faith. Clearly, plainly taught in the New Testament, if a man would only have ears to hear and eyes to see. Thus, when I address the crowd, after saying, manifesting the shame of such behavior as professing Christians coming out in such a demonstration towards other Christians in condemning it as unchristian behavior, I begin to say to the crowd, if you follow this man, pointing at Joshua Llewellyn, directing my conversation to Joshua Llewellyn, if you follow this man, don't be deceived. You will follow this blind leader into the ditch. And I had quoted this not out of the context. I had quoted it actually in the direct context of Matthew chapter 23, when Jesus Christ says, if the blind lead the blind, they will both fall into the ditch. And that is a fearful warning for those simple Jews of the day to follow the Pharisees, the leaders of the received Orthodox religion of Christ's generation. Christ says, if you Jews follow these Pharisees, these religious leaders of our generation, don't lie to yourself. You're going to fall into the ditch with them. They're going to lead you into the ditch. They're blind. You're blind. And if you follow a blind leader, you will follow them into destruction. And in light of this scripture, quoting this scripture, I said, if you follow this blind leader, you'll fall into the ditch and you will burn in hell. And that is the plain interpretation of the scripture. Matthew 23, Jesus Christ says, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? I'm not ashamed of Christ's words when he speaks in such a way. It is offensive to the flesh, but it is true. Regardless, it's offensive to the flesh that there actually is a hell, that there actually is judgment and wrath that awaits an impenitent sinner. Though that is an offensive truth, I believe it nonetheless because I see it in the Word of God. And the Scriptures teach me to say, let God be true, but every man a liar. Regardless of what men teach or what men say or what men feel, we need to believe what the Bible teaches. And it is an astonishing thing that we, the Church of Wells, have been labeled a cult in this city when all we are seeking to do is to uphold plainly what the Scriptures teach and not to give our own spin or our own interpretations, not to speak our own words or give our own commentary on the Scriptures or what we heard in seminary or what we learned in Bible college. All we are seeking to do is to exalt the Word of God and let it stand on its own. I don't believe that I need to defend the Word of God. All I believe I need to do is to let loose the Word of God and let it run its course. I believe it will do far more damage than I ever could by defending it. I believe that these pastors of these churches in our town are not, by and large, exalting the written Word of God. Sometimes I speak to people in this town, and in 1 hour's time, I have quoted and cited, referenced more scripture in a single hour of talking to the townsfolk of this city than their pastors have the entire year in their sermons. And it is a shame and a reproach to the name of Jesus Christ that a minister could be called a minister of the New Testament and yet preach so little of New Testament scripture. And it ought not to be so. Yes, I do believe that if the blind follow the blind, they will both fall into the ditch. Now, do I wish that to happen to this town? I do not. I desire the salvation of everyone in this town, including the ministers, the professed ministers of Jesus Christ in this town. I desire that. Now, these ministers in this town have not walked honestly towards us. And that can be addressed at another time. They have not walked honestly towards us. They have not walked charitably towards us. They have not feared the Lord in us as one minister of Jesus Christ should towards another minister of Jesus Christ. It has been shameful, their behavior. Shameful that men calling themselves Christians and ministers at that would rally a crowd of people, which I assume that many of these people in the crowd were not good, honest Christian people. Many of the people in this crowd were the daily people that the law enforcement are having to deal with, the daily criminals of this town. And it was shameful behavior to see such behavior led by ministers, professed ministers of Jesus Christ in this town. It ought never to have been done. And so that should clear up my intentions in saying what I said, and that I was not intending to pronounce a curse. I actually was desiring to show the error of the people's way and to communicate that my heart had love in it for the people, and I desire the salvation of everyone in this town. Thus, we're here. That's the precise reason why we have come to this town, is that we could see souls saved. And by God's grace and His good hand upon us, we will see what our eyes long to see, and that is the salvation of every man, woman, and child in this community. In Jesus Christ's name, by His grace, amen.